Howdy, cowboys and cowgirls. Rustle up some friends and let's have some fun with the folks of Giddy Up Junction.
Hop on your horse and meet us down at Giddy Up Junction. Adventures await within the town of Giddy Up Junction. A western town around the bend, it's Giddy Up Junction. We'll meet the folks and make new friends at Giddy Up Junction.
What another wonderful Sunday morning to be in the Lord's house. Well, would you look at that? It looks like we have some very special visitors today. I'm Pastor Cody Casey, and welcome to the First Baptist Church of Giddy Up Junction. It's so good to have all of you with us today. Let's take a look in our Bibles today at Mark chapter 11, and we're going to begin reading in verse 22. The Bible says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Do you know what faith is? Faith is trusting in something or someone. As Christians, we're to have faith in God. We can see this clearly by Jesus' statement, "Have faith in God." This faith is often seen when we pray. Jesus tells us how big our faith in God should be when we pray in verses 23 through 25. Follow along with me as we begin reading in verse 23. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Verse 24 goes on to say, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." And verse 25 says, "When ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." Our message today is on prayer. When we pray, we should pray believing or pray with faith in God. When I think about praying in faith, I can't help but be reminded of something that happened a long time ago in Giddy Up Junction. Yes, I remember like it was something that had just happened yesterday. It was a beautiful Saturday morning with not a cloud in the sky. The sun was on the rise, and so were the biscuits in the oven at the Carson's home. Mr. Carson had coffee in hand and his Bible on the table. He was still reading in the book of John. Mrs. Carson was at the stove. Biscuits and sausage gravy was on the menu for this Saturday morning. And it looked as if this would be another beautiful day in Giddy Up Junction when Billy Carson came in the back door.
"Mom, do you have any food I can take for lunch today?"
"Food for what? What are you doing out of bed so early on this Saturday?"
"I need the food for me and Paul. We plan to go fishing today."
"What are on your hands? What are they so dirty for anyways?"
"I was digging worms from the garden."
"Here, I've already packed you and Paul a big lunch."
"Let me see them worms. Yep, them is some big fat ones. Looks like you and the fishes are gonna eat good today."
"What did you say to me, Earl?"
I was talking about these worms."
"I know, I was just trying to get your goat."
"Jenny, don't scare me like that. I thought I was in real trouble there."
"Dad, can I take the horse?"
"What do you need the horse for? Aren't you just going down to the creek?"
"No, Dad. We are going to the lake. The creek is too dry. We haven't had any rain in a while."
"Well, we are overdue for rain. I guess it's okay to take the horse out. But be sure to be back before dark. We got church tomorrow morning, you know."
"Yes, sir. I will hopefully be back in time for Mom to fry up some fish for supper. Okay, well, see you later."
"Well, you hold it right there, young man. You just set yourself down and eat this breakfast I've cooked for you."
"Yes, ma'am."
As Mrs. Carson plates breakfast and sits down, the family bows their head and Mr. Carson prays. He started by giving thanks for the food and asking God to watch over his family and to watch over Billy and Paul on their fishing trip. He closed out his prayer asking God to give the church a great Sunday with souls saved and lives changed. And he asked it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and finished it with an amen. The family ate and Billy said his goodbyes. He saddled up the old gray mare and headed to the Purdue farm to get Paul. At the Purdue farm, the morning chores were done, and the seven children and Mr. Purdue were all called to the house with the dinner bell. The family came running, and the last to make it in was Paul, and he was carrying the pail of milk. And you could hear the cow was still not happy about having to have given it.
Son, what did you do to that cow?
Now, Oren, you know that cow hardly ever is a willing participant in the area giving milk.
Oh, it's gentle, Dad. I can't say the same for Joy.
When I named that cow Joy, I was hoping it would change her attitude. Well, let's pray, children. Bow your heads. Paul, would you pray for our breakfast and for Joy to be quiet?
Yes, sir. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the food and the hands that prepared it. Bless our family today, Lord, and protect us. Help Joy to get over herself and quiet down. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, praise the Lord. She stopped her yelling.
Prayer works, children. When you pray, pray believing. And don't you children forget it. There may come a day where you need big things from God, and don't you be afraid to ask Him. The Bible says you can move mountains if you pray believing.
Yes, children. Faith is the key that unlocks the power of prayer. God is willing to do great things for you in His will as long as you pray believing.
While the Purdue family finished breakfast and began to clean up, Billy Carson came riding up on the old gray mare. He had a big sack of food, two fishing poles, and a can of worms freshly dug from the earth, not to mention a huge smile on his face as he rode up to the Purdue's farmhouse. Each child ran out to say hi to Billy, except Alice, who was the oldest daughter of the family and the most shy of the bunch. She was a year younger than Billy at age 16.
It's good to see all you folks. Paul, are you ready to go?
I think so. Let me get my jar of crickets.
Yes, you don't want to forget them. The bass love crickets. Boy, I do expect this fishing expedition to be a success and to eat fish tonight for supper.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, go on then and make sure you're home before dark.
Yes, sir.
The two young men climbed on the old gray mare and headed west out of town to the lake. They didn't make great time on the old mare, but they arrived safely at their destination and set up for a day of fishing. They quickly got their lines in the water.
Man, this is great. I know, right? No farm.
No school.
I got one.
Me too. Ha-ha!
And that's how the day went. Fish after fish after fish. They got so caught up in the fishing that they didn't see the storm forming up west of them and quickly moving their way. There was lightning off in the distance, and the wind began to pick up. It wasn't until there was a big clap of thunder, which spooked the old gray mare, that the two young men realized a storm was just about on top of them.
Oh man, we better pack up.
Yup, this looks like a bad one.
The boys packed up their things and the rain began to fall. As they headed over to where the old mare was tied, a bolt of lightning struck right near the horse. The old horse was so scared she broke her reins and ran for home.
No, old gray, come back. Come back, girl. What are we going to do now, Billy?
I don't know. It looks like the storm is getting worse. We need to find a place to ride out the storm.
You know there's an old abandoned mine over there in that patch of woods.
Okay, let's head there.
As the two young men made their way to the old abandoned mine, Back home, their families began to worry as the storm worsened.
Orin, I am worried about Paul and Billy.
Yes, I know, dear. I can see it on your face. Children, let's pray for your brother and Billy. Dear Lord, watch over my son and his friend Billy right now. Give them a safe place to weather the storm. Protect them with your mighty hand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear, I imagine that the Carsons are worried too. Could we pray for them as well?
As the Purdue family prayed for the Carsons prayed for Billy and Paul and the Purdue family too. As Mr. Carson finished his prayer, someone came in the front door of the store.
I wonder who that can be in this weather.
Ranger, what brings you out in this storm?
Well, Earl, I was at the ranger station and I saw your old mare wandering through town without a rider, so I thought I should come and bring her home.
Oh, no.
What is it, Earl?
My boy and Paul Purdue went fishing at the lake. They had the horse with them.
Don't worry, Earl. I'm sure the Lord is watching over them. You said they went to the lake?
Yes, sir. That's what Billy told us.
I'll ride Justice out to the lake and try to bring those boys in from the storm.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Ranger.
It's no problem at all.
The Lord's Ranger mounted Justice and headed at full speed to the lake. Before he was completely out of town, he heard the loud siren coming from the town hall. That siren could only mean one thing, the ranger thought to himself. A twister had been sighted.
We don't have much time, Justice. We need to hurry, boy.
With a twister bearing down upon Giddyup Junction, families prayed. The two boys were almost to the mine. The Lord's Ranger and his trusty steed rode into the face of danger once again to try and save the day.
Here it is, Billy. I found it, the old mine.
Good. Let's get inside before this gets any worse.
Help me pull off these boards.
The two young men pulled off the boards and made their way into the mine. Not far inside, they found a place to rest away from the storm that raged outside. Meanwhile, the Lord's Ranger had made it to the lake, but so had the Twister. The Lord's Ranger could barely stay in his saddle because of the high winds, and after looking around for the young men and finding nothing, he realized that any sign of the boys being there had either been blown or washed away by the terrible storm. Just then, a loud noise drew his attention. It was a branch off of a tree that came flying by and almost took him right off his horse.
Whoa, that was a close one, Justice. I don't see any sign of the boys. Lord willing, they made it back to town safely, or we'll find them on the way back. Justice, head for home, boy!
Like a bolt of lightning, Justice ran for home, the Lord's Ranger guiding him through the debris falling all around them as they headed for home and shelter from the storm. As the storm intensified, it began to rain even more debris, and it shook the ground right around the mine. Billy and Paul, safe inside the cave from the storm outside, heard a loud sound come from the entrance to the mine.
I think the mine caved in.
Let's go see.
Okay, let's go.
As the two young men made their way to the entrance to the mine, outside the twister still raged. The mighty storm launched tree after tree in the path of the Lord's Ranger and Justice, but they made it to town and back to the ranger station. Soaked and heartbroken, the ranger hoped against hope that Billy and Paul had made it to safety. In the midst of the storm raging outside, and another of uncertainty for the boy's safety on the inside, the Lord's Ranger fell to his knees and prayed.
Oh, Lord, we need you right now. God turn this storm away from Giddyup Junction. Lord, protect Billy Carson and Paul Perdue. God, watch over the people of this town. In this our hour of need, this I ask in faith, in the faith of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Back in the old mine, Billy and Paul made it to the entrance.
It's completely blocked.
Billy, it will take us days to dig out of here.
I'm not sure we can, Paul. Some of those rocks are huge.
We're going to starve.
No, we'll be okay. I brought the lunch bag my mom made us in the mine, and I have a little bit of water left in the canteen.
As the Twister made its way toward Giddyup Junction, God's people prayed. Dr. Hiltz prayed. Preacher Parson prayed, and the Carson family prayed as well. Even Mayor Kennedy prayed.
Dear God of heaven, this here is Mayor Cletus Cornelius Kennedy. I am begging you, Lord, to turn this storm and spare your God-fearing people in Giddyup Junction. Please, God, I know you hear and answer prayers. Please hear my petition and grant us protection by your mighty hand. God, I know that you're bigger than this Twister and can do as you please. Again, I ask that you turn away this storm. In Jesus' name, amen.
God heard the prayers of his people, and it seemed like God took his hand and pushed that storm away from Giddyup Junction. That Twister took a hard right turn right away from the town and soon spun itself completely apart. The rain continued through the night. And as the sun rose, the rooster crowed and birds sang on a beautiful Sunday morning. You would have never known that the night before, a storm had ripped through the town until you stepped outside and saw the debris. With the sun up, the people of town began to come out of their houses and shops to see how their homes and businesses had weathered the storm.
Wow, my goodness, it's a mess.
I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Nothing has happened like this in 30 years.
Well, according to the Farmer's Almanac, we were due for this, all right. Why, I was just telling Mr. Rich at the bank all about it.
Why didn't you share with the rest of us? We didn't need warning, I get it. You'll warn the one who holds your money, but not the one who cuts your hair. Fine, fine, that's just fine by me. Actually, it's not fine by me. You'd warn a business owner on the other side of town and forget to warn your neighbor the barber. I just...
Let us not fight in our hour of need, good people of Giddyup Junction. It's Sunday morning. Yes, there is much to clean up, but there is much to be thankful for. Every building in the town is still standing. Let us meet at the church at our regular time to give thanks to God for his protection from the storm. And we'll talk about the needs of each family.
Mayor.
Yes, Ranger.
I just wanted to thank you. That was a good piece of mayoring, sir.
Why, thank you, Ranger.
All the people of Giddyup Junction packed into the church house that Sunday morning, each one praising the Lord for his answer to their prayers for protection. Earl Carson and his wife came into church hoping to find Billy with either the Lord's Ranger or maybe the Perdue family.
Earl, I sure hope Billy's with the Ranger or the Perdues.
I know, dear. I do, too.
I don't see him, Dad. I don't see him.
Now just calm down, Sue. Earl, there's the Lord's Ranger talking to the preacher.
Okay, I see him. I'll go ask him about Billy.
Earl Carson made his way through the large crowd down front to speak with the Lord's Ranger.
Good morning, Brother Carson. How did you and your family make out in the storm?
Well, that's what I came to talk to the Ranger about.
Earl, I didn't see Billy come in with you. Have you seen him yet?
No, Ranger. That's what I was coming to ask you about. I was wondering if you had seen my boy or Paul.
I rode out there, Earl, and I didn't see any sign of them, The Twister had already wiped away their tracks. I left hoping the boys had already beaten me back safely to town.
Have you talked to Mr. Perdue yet about Paul?
No, sir. I haven't seen them yet this morning. I hope they made it out all right on the farm.
Just then, Orrin Perdue pushed open the door of the church, walking briskly through the crowd, and he called out,
"Has anyone seen Paul? Has anyone seen my son Paul? His mom is worried sick, and Billy Carson was with him yesterday. Has anyone seen either of those boys?"
The church was now full of discussion when Preacher Parson got up and said,
"Folks, it seems that the two young men from our congregation are missing. Has anyone seen the boys since the storm?"
"Oh, Earl, no one has seen them."
"I'm sure they'll be all right, Jenny dear."
"Church, I believe we need to pray. Billy and Paul need to be found, but we need God's help. Before we go forth and look for these two young men, let's pray and beg God to watch over the boys and for the Lord to guide us to find them."
So the church prayed. Families gathered together and asked God to protect the boys and to guide and help them folks that were looking to find them. Nathan Hill and Preacher Parson called out to God. The Carson family and the Perdue family came together and they prayed, asking God to bring their sons home safely. The Lord's Ranger prayed with, that's right, the mayor, asking God to watch over Billy and Paul and give wisdom on how to best help Giddyup Junction. When God's church was finished praying, the preacher asked the mayor to come up and give some direction for the search party and the cleanup efforts.
"Now, friends, we must divide ourselves. Men without horses and the women and the children stay with me, and we will start the cleanup efforts. Men with horses go with the Lord's Ranger, and he will head up our search party for the young men."
So the people divided up and received their orders and went right to work. 20 men rode out of town in 4 different directions in search of the boys. 5 men went to the east, 5 men north, 5 men went to the south, and 4 men along with the Lord's Ranger went west towards the lake and the two young men. Meanwhile, inside the old mine, Billy and Paul have no idea whether it's day or night. Darkness is all that they can see, and 12 hours have now passed since the cave-in at the entrance to the mine. But it's felt to them like days. Paul Perdue's mind begins to hear the voice of his mother as he recalls her words that prayer can move mountains. So with urgency, Paul says to Billy,
"I think we should pray."
"I agree. We should pray. You start."
"Okay, dear God, we need help. I know you could remove these rocks from the entrance or have someone do it for you. But Lord, I beg you, let someone find us. In Jesus' name, amen."
"Lord, I pray for our parents. Help them not to worry too much. God, help us get out of this place. Send someone who can find us here in the mine. In the name of Jesus, amen."
When the two young men finished praying, the search party had checked the lake and were moving close to the mine. The Lord's Ranger was calling out to the young men, and then he'd listen for an answer. He did this over and over again as he moved along. When he was real close to the mine, he called out,
"Billy! Paul! Can you hear me? Billy! Paul! Where are you boys?"
Inside the cave, Paul heard a small voice. It was the Lord's Ranger, and he began to scream, and Billy began to scream. But the Ranger rode on because he couldn't hear the young men. They screamed for several minutes until finally they knew the men had passed by. Feeling discouraged, Billy asked Paul if he was hungry.
"Yes, I'm starving."
"Okay, let's eat then."
Billy prayed for the food as the search continued for the young men. As darkness descended upon Giddyup Junction, The men from the search party came back to town and met at the ranger station. No one in any of the groups had seen either of the young men. The Lord's Ranger dismissed the men and told them that they'd start again right at first light. Just then, the mayor walked into the ranger station.
Well, Ranger, any news?
No, Mayor. We couldn't find any sign of them. Not one man found a clue to point us towards the boys.
You didn't find a track, or any clothing, or even a fishing pole?
No, sir. They must have taken it all with them.
Well, we better get to sniffing out some clues. I'm not sure how long those boys have left.
You know, Mayor, you just have given me a great idea to find those boys.
Well, what is it, Ranger?
Have you ever heard of the great Ranger Walker?
Do you mean the one from Texas?
No, sir. The one I know is from West Virginia.
Oh, I see. Well, how does he equal an idea that will help us find these missing boys?
Well, let me tell you, Mayor, my idea.
The Lord's Ranger began to explain that Ranger Walker had some real unusual animals that he thought would be able to aid in finding Billy and Paul. He told about the ranger's dog named Dixie Dog. He told the mayor how she wasn't very big, but she was really smart. She had super hearing and a nose that could find any missing person. The Lord's Ranger then began to explain that Dixie Dog was small with short legs, so on long searches like this one, Ranger Walker and Dixie Dog had another animal that could help, and his name was Champ. Champ is a miniature horse, just the right size for Dixie Dog to ride on. Champ was fearless, even though he was only a couple of feet tall. There had been many times Champ and Dixie Dog had rode right into the face of danger with Ranger Walker, and it helped to save the day.
Well, how do we find these heroes, Ranger?
I believe I heard that they were called to work a case in Dodge City. I will send a telegraph over to the ranger there and request their help immediately.
Okay. I'm going to organize a prayer meeting for tonight with the preacher and ask God to help us find these boys.
The Lord's Ranger rushed to the telegraph office. Upon arrival, the office was closing when the ranger beat on the window until Mr. Hiltz raised the window and said,
"How can I help you, Lord's Ranger?"
"It's an emergency. I need to send a telegram to the ranger in Dodge City."
"Well, come on behind the counter and we'll send it right away."
The ranger went back behind the counter as Mr. Hiltz set up the telegraph.
"Go ahead, Ranger, whenever you are ready."
"This is the Lord's Ranger. Stop. We need help in Giddyup Junction. Stop. Please send Ranger Walker. Stop. Have him bring Dixie Dog and Champ. Stop. Two young men's lives depend upon it. Stop."
"Okay, it's all sent, Ranger."
"Thank you so much, Mr. Hiltz."
"No problem. I wish I could do more."
"Well, they're having a prayer meeting at the church in a few minutes. To pray for the two young men, that would be something you could do."
"I'll see you there, Ranger."
Back in the mine, Billy was getting bored with listening to his own echo in the mine. Paul was just waking up from a nap as Billy decided to sing.
"Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary."
"What are you doing?"
"I'm singing."
"I know, but why?"
"Well, I don't want to get discouraged."
"We are trapped in a mine. Hello, I think it's okay."
"Well, I know God knows right where we are, and we have asked him to set us free. So I want to encourage myself by singing to the Lord."
"My dad told me a Bible story of Paul the Apostle. That's who my parents named me after. My dad said he and Silas sang in prison and were a great witness and encouragement of God's goodness and grace.
I know that story as well. You want to sing with me?
Sure, why not?
Okay, one and a two and a three. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
The two young men sang, and while they sang in the mine, back in Giddyup Junction, the church met together, and before they prayed, they sang to the Lord. The church prayed and begged God to let the boys be found. As the service finished, Earl Carson stopped the Lord's Ranger on the way out of the church.
Hey, Ranger, can I speak with you for a minute?
Sure, Earl.
I just want you to know, I appreciate your efforts to find Billy and Paul. I didn't even say thank you the other day. I know you rode out into the storm for my boy. Ranger, do you think you'll find him?
I sure do, Earl. Hold on and let me grab Mr. Perdue so I can tell you and him about how I think we can find the boys.
Okay, sure.
Mr. Perdue, could you come over here a moment?
What did you need, Ranger?
Well, I want to tell each of you men how I've called someone to help me find your sons. It's another ranger with special skills and helpers that can track missing people.
Who is this ranger?
Ranger Walker.
Is that the one from Texas?
No, it's the one from West Virginia. I need each of you men to bring me a piece of clothing that your boys have worn recently and that hasn't been washed yet.
Okay, that shouldn't be hard.
Are you going to use the clothes to get their scent?
We sure are, Earl.
When does this Ranger Walker get here?
I don't exactly know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I sent a telegram and I haven't heard back yet. But he has always come when I've called. I believe he'll be here, Earl, sometime tomorrow.
Okay, I'll bring you the clothes in the morning.
I'll bring some as well.
Thank you, good men, and good night.
As the men walked away and headed home, the preacher walked up and put his hand on the ranger's shoulder and said,
"How you holding up, Ranger?"
"Well, to tell you the truth, Preacher, I'm exhausted and worried for those boys at the same time."
"And rightfully so. Let's pray God will grant you the rest tonight that you need so you'll have the strength necessary for tomorrow."
"Amen. Let's do that, Preacher."
As the men prayed together for the boys and for the good rest that the ranger needed, all of Giddyup Junction headed home to try and rest up for a few hours during the night and prayed that the next day the boys would be found. The sun broke across that morning sky and rose as beautiful as the one on which our story began. Earl Carson and Orrin Perdue both showed up early at the ranger station, along with the other men who were going out again to find Billy and Paul. The ranger had a great night of rest and was ready to start afresh to find the young men. He began to divide the men up in search parties when Mr. Hiltz came running from the telegraph office screaming,
"He's coming! He's coming! That Ranger Walker fella, he's a-coming!"
Out of breath, Mr. Hiltz handed the telegraph to the ranger, and the Lord's Ranger read it.
"Got your message. Stop. Happy to help. Stop. Me and the whole crew will be on the 9 a.m. train. Stop. See you then. Stop."
Excitement spread through the whole town as the news spread that Ranger Walker and his special friends were coming to town. Each person began to feel as if the boys were as good as found. But in the old mine, the two boys were beginning to worry.
"Here, Paul, take a drink. This is the last of the water."
"No, I'm not thirsty. You go ahead."
"I had my last share. This last bit's for you. Whenever you're ready, your last portion of food is ready."
"Last portion? That sounds so bad."
"Well, I'm trying to have faith."
"Oh, really? How?"
"Well, God supplies our needs, right?"
"Yes."
"Well, if we are out of food then, God has got to get us out of here before we can eat again. So I'm looking to be rescued today and eat at home tonight."
"I don't think it works like that."
"Well, don't rain on my parade. That's what I'm counting on."
Don't worry, Rain is what got us into this mess.
Back in town, the Lord's Rangers sent the search parties out in the four different directions again to try and find any clue of the boys' whereabouts. The Lord's Rangers stayed in town to wait for Ranger Walker and his crew of helpers. After dropping off the boys' clothes, Orrin Purdue and Earl Carson stopped to pray together for the Lord to use Ranger Walker and his helpers to find their sons.
Dear God, I know you can do anything you will. God, I pray that it would be your will to bring Paul and Billy home safe today. I pray you use this Ranger Walker to locate Paul and Billy, and that they would be fine and unharmed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, as we continue in prayer, I simply ask for your hand to guide Ranger Walker and his helper, Lord, to find my boy and Paul. Let the boys be okay and bring them home to their mamas who are worried sick about them, Lord. This I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The two men had hardly finished praying when in the distance, you could hear the train from Dodge City whistling loudly that it was on its way. The two men and the Lord's Ranger headed to the train station to greet Ranger Walker. As the train came to a stop, people came out of every door. The men looked, but they didn't see the ranger anywhere. Finally, after a few minutes, a small horse stepped down upon the platform with a small dog on his back. Following them off the train stepped a tall lawman in western attire with a badge on his chest that said Ranger. The Lord's Ranger waved and walked up and stuck out his hand and said,
Howdy, Ranger Walker. Thanks for coming.
It's no problem. I'm glad to help.
These men here are the fathers of the boys that are missing.
Thank you so much for coming so quickly, Ranger.
Well, where do we start?
Let's take your bags to the ranger station, and I will explain what happened and where the boys were last seen.
So the men made their way to the ranger station, and after dropping off Ranger Walker's bags, the Lord's Ranger began to explain how that just a few days ago, the boys had headed to the lake for a fishing trip and that a terrible storm had blown in on them. To make matters even worse, a twister had touched down near the lake. He told how he had found the old gray mare that the boys were riding in town during the storm and how he rode out to find them. He also told him how they had searched everywhere to find a clue of where they might be, but nothing had turned up a single clue as to the boys' location. After hearing all that the Lord's Ranger had to say, Ranger Walker said,
I believe we should head out to the lake and see if Dixie Dog can pick up the boys' trail.
And that's just what they did. They all mounted up and rode to the lake. The mayor loaned Ranger Walker his horse. The Lord's Ranger rode Justice, of course, and Dixie Dog rode Champ, the trick horse, out to the lake. After arriving at the lake, the Lord's Ranger gave Ranger Walker the clothing that he had asked their parents to bring in. Ranger Walker got down from the mayor's trusty steed and called Dixie Dog.
Here, Dixie. Here, girl. Here, Dixie. Come here, girl. This is them boys' scent that we are here to find. Do you have their scent, girl? All right, go get them, girl.
Dixie Dog took off. She first sniffed her way down to the lakeside, and she sniffed around there for a minute or two, then began to follow the scent along the side of the lake and out to the place that the old gray mare had been tied. She looked around, and then, quick as a flash, she was off again, sniffing along the ground. Her nose led her away from the tree that the horse had been tied to, towards a small piece of trees a few hundred yards from the lake. Once the group made it into the woods a little ways, small Dixie picked up speed and howled as loud as a small dog can howl. She came to a stop at the entrance to the old mine. She began scratching the rock, trying to dig her way in, when Ranger Walker said,
Good job, Dixie Dog. They must be inside there, fellas.
Oh, my goodness. That's a mess of rocks.
What is this place?
Well, it's an old mine shaft here.
The boys must have taken shelter here from the Twister, and then the Twister caved in the entrance here. Is there another way into this mine?
No, sir. Not that I know of. Let's pull some of these rocks back and see if the boys can hear us.
So the two men and Dixie moved rocks, and they dug for a while, and in the mine, the two boys could hear the rocks beginning to move, and they began to scream.
Help! We're in here! Help!
I told you they would come.
You know, I've never been so glad to be wrong.
After they tied ropes to some of the large rocks, and having Justice pull those large rocks out of the way, out came Billy Carson and Paul Perdue, safe and sound. The Rangers took the two young men home, and the mayor called a special meeting at the town hall to both thank Ranger Walker and Dixie Dog, but more importantly, to thank God for answering the prayers of the townspeople. Well, cowboys and cowgirls, it's clear that prayer still works and God is alive and well in the lives of His people. I hope you've enjoyed this installment of Giddy Up Junction from all of your friends here at Giddy Up Junction. So long and happy trails.
Giddy Up Junction and the Lord's Ranger are owned exclusively by Landmark Baptist Church and Gospel 90.3 FM and cannot be used without written consent of Landmark Baptist Church and Gospel 90.3 FM.